You are about to listen to the Snow Nose Gardening Show. The Snow Nose Gardening Show is the longest running gardening show in America. The Snows will talk gardening, answer your questions, and have a lot of fun along the way. Make sure you visit them online at www.snownose.com or go by in person, 1875 Avon Street. Their phone number, 434-295-2159.
And good morning and welcome to the Snow Nose Garden Show, the longest continuously running garden show in the nation and the most listened to weekend talk radio show right here in Central Virginia. We're live each and every Saturday morning. I'm Corbin Snow.
And I'm Norm Carlson.
And this portion of the Snow Nose Garden Show is brought to you by Snow's Garden Center. It's conveniently located just south of downtown Charlottesville on Avon Street Extended. And this portion of the show is also brought to you by SeavilleGoGreenFest.com. Check out the website. I'm going to tell you a little bit about the event. Coming up on May 14th, about 2 months from now, we're going to be having a green festival out at the Garden Center. And we've got lots of local sponsors. Our main presenting sponsor is Dixon Disposal. Again, you can visit our website, SeavilleGoGreenFest.com. You can find out all the information. The date, again, is May 14th. Mark your calendar. It's going to be a wonderful event. Lots of games and local businesses will be there, food vendors, activities, games, specials. And we're having a oh, Norman, why'd you have to do that?
Sorry.
I'll explain that in a second. But it's going to be a wonderful event. That's May 14th. Mark your calendars.
It's going to be a lot of fun. There's going to be a lot of good things going on. So
We're going to have some food vendors, which is always exciting. We're going to have the grill's going to be open down by the pond. We're going to be grilling some hamburgers and having a good old time out at the SeavilleGoGreenFest.com. Visit our website. Again, SeavilleGoGreenFest.com. And I want to talk about safety in the garden real quick. It's that time of year. It's that time of year. You're getting out hand snips and pruners and shovels and spades and picks and axes and saws and all those things that are sharp and not so sharp. And you've got your weed eaters that you're dusting off that, you know, you're going to be firing them up here in another month or so. You've got mowers and blades to be sharpened. And it just opens yourself up to a whole different element of being able to just things to look out for. You've got to keep yourself safe and protected out in the garden. And that's a prime example of that is Norman, 2 seconds ago, took off his wrap that he has around his little pinky finger, where earlier in the week he had a pretty brutal accident out in the garden.
Yes.
And and that's the first time I saw it. So when I said, oh, Norman, put that away, he had taken his wrap off his finger. And I saw the whole end of his finger, like, completely exposed with, like, 100 stitches in it.
Not 100, just 9 that you can see. But, yeah, Monday, I ended up with cutting my little finger pretty severely and had to go to the emergency room, get it stitched up and everything. And one of the things that the doctor and the nurses were talking about while I was in there is how this time of year they always see an increase in these kinds of injuries where people are cutting their hands or feet, legs, arms on all kinds of different garden implements, whether it's a shovel or a pair of pruning shears or loppers or, heaven forbid, a chainsaw. You know, there's lots of different ways that you can hurt yourself out in the garden. And, just want to give everybody a reminder as you're getting out there and dusting all of the equipment off this spring and getting back out there using it to be mindful of the hazards that these different gardening implements present. Don't want to obviously scare anybody away from doing these things or anything, but there are precautions that you need to take when you're out there in the garden.
I'll never forget it. I was probably about 16. I was summer working on a crew during summer break, in high school. And my dad had me out at Fashion Square Mall. We were pruning all the Japanese hollies out there, and there's just like thousands of them. Mm-hmm. And you get a pair of gas hedge trimmers, and you'd go through and you round the top off, and then you'd start going around the sides and just, you know, pruning in everything into little meatballs out there. And about, you know, 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon, you've been holding that 15-18 pound gas pruner all day, and you can barely feel your arms. They're like jello. And, you know, your arms are, you know, slouching and barely holding on. Your fingers, your grip's gone. And you just get sloppy. And I remember it was toward the end of the day, and I was pruning off the top of one of those hollies with these gas shears, which are extremely sharp and powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you kind of, your leg and your body's close to the shrub as you're pruning. And when I went down the side, I just went straight down right into my leg and, like, took this huge chunk of skin out. There's blood shooting everywhere. And, like, it took me, like, 30 seconds before I even realized what I did. I was like, uh-huh. It was so sharp and so clean.
That's it.
And I just kept on going. So there's definitely an element of danger in doing any work out in the garden. So definitely be mindful of what you're using, and especially your children. You know, if you have kids and, you know, they're out in the garden working with you, give them tools that are meant for children. We've got a good selection, good segue, by the way, a good selection of tools for kids in the garden, tool kits, just different things that'll, if you want them to garden by your side, things that are going to be safer and better, a better fit for them.
Right. And the other thing, you know, to keep in mind too, you know, talking about your kids being out there in the garden and working with you. And I mean, there are times when, you know, it's great to have them out there by your side, teaching them some of the things that you've learned about gardening and how to take care of plants. It can be a great experience for them as they learn about, you know, how things grow and you know, get a little bit of a biology and horticulture lesson along with it. But, you know, just be mindful that there are times when that's not a good idea to have your kids out there with you. One of the things that I see regularly is people out mowing the lawn, and the kids are out there playing not too far away, and it's amazing how quickly a lawnmower can pick up a piece of debris and hurl it with some pretty amazing force across the yard. And
yeah,
and
we've replaced a few windows and sliding glass doors over the years.
Yes,
I can testify to that.
And you know, obviously, you don't want to have your kids around when, you know, when that becomes a
right.
possibility, because, you know, that's just not anything you even want to think about, is something come flying out of that thing and hit one of your kids. And it can happen so easily and so quick.
If you'd like to join the show, the phone lines are wide open this morning. Our phone number here in the studios is 977-1070. Again, 977-1070. If you'd like to join the show, all four phone lines are wide open, and we'd love to take your gardening questions. If you have any questions about your plants, trees, shrubs, perennials, annuals, your lawn, houseplants, pests, rodents, insects, diseases, any weed problems, or if anything just looks funny out there in the garden, give us a call, 977-1070. We'd love to put you right on the air. Speaking of weeds, cool season weeds, the henbit is really prevalent right now.
Mm-hmm.
Chickweed is starting to show up. It's not too early, folks, to go ahead and start thinking about getting your some of your broadleaf weed controls down.
That's right.
Before those little weeds really start to mature and become big, giant plants in the garden. And when they start getting, you know, to that size, and especially if you're out there fertilizing this time of year, you get some fertilizer on them, it accelerates the growth, and before you know it, you've got a, you know, a monster of a weed that it's just a lot harder to control with some of the herbicides in the market.
Well, not only that, but like I was talking with a caller yesterday at the garden center, and he was asking about a weed that he had in his lawn and in his garden, and the fact that it was starting to flower.
Right.
And once they start to bloom, then you run the risk of them setting additional seed that's going to be even more of a problem on down
yeah.
the line. So you want to get out there and get them early before they have a chance to bloom and go to seed, and you can reduce the population, not just for this year, but for next year as well.
And if that weed is occupying space in your turf, in your lawn, then it's, you know, less, you know, good fescue, or, you know, it's less good grass you have. And eventually, as that weed dies out, it's going to be left, you know, a bare spot. And then what's going to fill it in later in the year is going to be crabgrass and other unsightly weeds that you don't want in your turf.
There's a henbit and another weed called purple dead nettle.
Yeah.
Look very, very similar.
Right.
Now, as I was coming over to the station this morning, I noticed a lawn on the way in that's almost exclusively purple dead nettle right now.
I'm sure it's beautiful this time of year.
It kind of is. It's got this purplish, greenish cast to it. I mean, it's almost uniform over the whole lawn. And that's almost to the point of being a ground cover. Would really be kind of nice if it wasn't for the fact that once the weather starts to get hot, it's going to die off.
Right.
And, you know, won't
that's
be
the
there.
That's the problem
for the
with
summer.
Weeds. Let's go to line number one. If you'd like to join the show, give us a call, 977-1070. Good morning. You're on the Snow Nose Garden Show.
Morning. How you doing?
Wonderful. How are you?
Good, good. I got a question. I've got a sloping part of my lawn that's really unmobile. The angle is too bad. So I've been trying to grow a wildflower garden there for about 5 years, and I just fail miserably. And I think what I want to do this year is just let it lay fallow and try to kill everything there because it's so full of brambles and poison ivy and just everything. So I guess I'd like a recommendation on a pre-emergent, or even if you think that's a good plan.
I tell you what one of the things that works really, really well, if you can deal with the sight of it for a little while, is in an area like that where you want to kill off everything that's there and get it back to bare soil. Take a weed eater and cut it down as short as you can get it, and then cover the whole area with black plastic.
Yeah, I don't think my wife's going to go for that.
Okay.
It's a very visible part.
If you lived in my neighborhood, I'd tell you don't do that either.
How much time would the black plastic have to be there?
It'd have to be there for preferably a couple of months so that it has a chance to, cover the growing cycle is from the time that, you've got some stuff that's established and growing in there now. There's going to be other things that are going to come later on in the season as the weather warms up.
Right,
and you want to be able to get all of that.
Do you sell that kind of thing, or is that something I get at a hardware store? It's a big area. I mean, it's about probably 20, 25 feet by 60 feet, something like that, 70 feet.
Yeah, that'd be something to pick up at a hardware store. And, the great thing about doing that is you create an environment, number one, where, the weeds aren't going to be able to get through the plastic. But
right.
with that impervious layer of plastic, doesn't let any moisture through, let much air through, sunlight doesn't get through it. But in addition to that, that black color, that the sun is going to heat that up pretty quickly, especially as we get a little bit further into the season, and you almost create a solar soil sterilizer kind of environment up underneath that plastic. And as things start to come up and start to grow, between the lack of sunlight, the heat, and the lack of moisture up under there, it does a great job at just annihilating anything that tries to come up, and you can get rid of a lot of seeds that are down under there, and a lot of things that could potentially cause problems. Even the perennial tough stuff just can't handle all that but the combination of dark heat and drought, and does a great job of doing it in kind of a non-chemical sort of way. There are certainly other products that you can use. You could go in there and spray kill what's there, the broadleaf weeds with just a broadleaf weed killer or brush killer, and then
some of these things are they have like 3/4 inch trunks now. They're not, they got serious root systems, and
right,
they just need to die.
Yeah, that's why I say cut everything back and come in with a brush killer.
It's already cut back. It is cut back, but it'll come to life pretty soon now again if I don't do something.
Right, right.
It's pretty much bare soil now except for the a couple of little trunks of what that was. I cut it all down. But,
and if you go the spraying route, you're definitely going to have to do probably more than one application. Especially
I'll do the plastic. I'm going to try to talk to my wife again about that. How do you seal it? I mean, when the wind comes whipping through there,
they have you can pick up some little pens, some little metal stake pens, and you'd probably need, for an area that big, you might need.
Yeah, you're going to need
100 pens, but we sell the pens at the garden center. They're like $1.99 for a package of 12 or 15 of them. So for a couple bucks, you can pick up all the pens, and they just penetrate right through the plastic. Definitely, put them on the corners, and then the runs on both sides about every 5 to 10 feet. Stick a pen in the ground.
Okay, I think that's a good plan. I'm going to go ahead and do that. Appreciate your help. Thank you.
All right, thank you for calling. Have a great day.
Good question.
You too. Thanks. Bye bye.
Bye.
If you'd like to join the show, our phone lines are wide open. Our number is 977-1070. We'd love to put you right on the air.
The other thing that I've seen done a lot of times, you know, in securing the plastic like that also is just dig a trench all the way around the perimeter and actually bury the edge of about 6-8 inches of the plastic under the soil, and then throw some rocks and things like that into the middle area to weight it down. And that works fairly well also. Just on anything that you can do to, in fact, I would probably do a little bit of that in conjunction with pinning it down, because that plastic sometimes, you know, as the wind gets whipping it around, can potentially rip through some of those pins. So it wouldn't be a bad idea to go ahead and throw some rocks on there as well.
Something that's going to weight it down.
Right.
There's nothing worse than chasing plastic around your subdivision.
and having to go through and redo it all again. And, you know, potentially the plastic rips and they have to replace it, and it's a pain in the neck.
If you'd like to join the show, our number is 977-1070. We have a caller. Let's give him just a second, and we'll go to line number one. Just want to remind people that winter injury is showing. It really, this is the time of year where it starts to show up. Just want to remind people to wait until the new growth comes out before you go out and start to trim things back on a lot of your broadleaf evergreens. Even though the leaves are dead, the buds still might be healthy. So before you get in there and start hacking and pruning things back, you know, assuming things are dead and that they're not going to make it, give them just a little bit of time. Wait to see what flushes out, and then you can go through and prune.
It's amazing how bad a plant can look from winter injury, and we're going to see a fair amount of that because November and December.
Oh, December was one of the coldest I can recall.
Yeah, I mean, it was brutal, and in a way that the plants weren't necessarily prepared for.
Right.
So it's amazing how bad a plant can look, and then, you know, as soon as that flush of new growth comes out on it, it's like, wow, it looks like a brand new plant.
Right.
Just because it literally burned off the leaves. But the stems and the buds that were down along those stems were still perfectly healthy.
Bless you.
Excuse me. So, yeah, give it a little bit of time. Don't give up on your plants too early.
As I've been driving around Charlottesville, I've been looking for forsythium bloom. Have you seen any yet?
I've seen a few just starting to pop. I noticed a few on my way in this morning. So,
and I think most of our callers are familiar with the telling sign of when is a good time to put down crabgrass pre-emergent is when the forsythia first starts to come into bloom. That kind of indicates that the soil temperatures are at the, you know, what, 55
right.
degrees, and that's the point where crabgrass starts to germinate as well. So we're actually, again, you don't want to start too early, you don't want to start too late, and so, you know, just try to time it as best as you can. But we're going to start our crabgrass applications next week for all of our commercial and residential properties. Again, we kind of hold off. You want to make sure you put it down in an effective manner. Also, if you're putting down a granular, you want to time it around either time that you can go out and water it in, or two, you want to time it around
the inch of rain we're supposed to get tomorrow.
Yeah, the inch of rain. So today would be an excellent day if you have a product like CrabX, or any granulated crabgrass product, to go ahead and put that down today and let Mother Nature soak it and water it in for you tomorrow, and it's done. You know, it went down effectively, and
right. And if for some reason you don't get to it today, we're supposed to get another batch of good
next
rain
week.
Through on Thursday of
right.
next week. So, you know, if you can get it down, you know, like Wednesday afternoon, Wednesday evening would be a great time also. And you can really increase the effectiveness of those products tremendously by getting them watered in like that.
We've got to take a quick break. You're listening to the Snow Nose Garden Show on AM 1070. We'll be right back. Good morning and welcome back to the Snow Nose Garden Show, the most listened to weekend talk radio show in Central Virginia. We're live each and every Saturday morning. I'm Corbin Snow.
I'm Norm Carlson.
We're here for the next half an hour to take your gardening questions and answer your phone calls. If you'd like to join the show, give us a call at 977-1070, and we'll put you right on the air this morning. Want to remind people also that March is a great time to start your early vegetable plants like broccoli, cauliflower, kale, cabbage, collards, lettuce. You can even get your peas in, potatoes,
onions.
And any of the cold, onion sets are in.
Asparagus.
And we've got all those things that I just rattled off. We got in stock out the garden center. We've got fruit shrubs in, blueberries and strawberries. Mm-hmm. We've got things early this year, just with the weather conditions changing and transitioning early in February. We had a lot of things show up in the last week or two. And the nursery is slowly starting to get jam-packed of plants and annuals and perennials and trees and shrubs. And nothing that puts a bigger smile on my face to see that nursery fill up. I just love it. The color is starting to come to life. You can, as you're standing in the back of the nursery, you can look out and see the mountain range just starting to show a little green. You know, you can just see mm-hmm. little buds on there. And that's one of my favorite things to do is go out there weekly and just kind of look at the mountain as the color starts to come on the leaves. And the willows that we have in the back of the nursery are swollen up with little buds. And
yeah, the buds are starting to pop.
And green. And just nothing better than seeing life back out in the garden this time of year.
I noticed some of the maple trees, the blooms on them, you know, say blooms. They're not. You got to look hard to see that it's a flower.
Yeah.
But they're actually popping and open on some of the red maples around town. And I was looking at a pear this morning.
I saw pears yesterday.
The buds really have actually started. The main bud has opened, and you can see all the individual flower buds expanding and starting to come out. And it's not going to be long before they're showing color, too.
I love it. Let's go to line number two. Good morning. You're on the Snow Nose Garden Show.
Hi, I have a question about my lawn.
Okay.
I seeded... newly seeded an area, probably 300 square feet last fall. All right, grass came up, but it looks pretty wimpy and pretty thin. Is there anything I can do about that at this point?
Yeah, was it late in the season when you...
I paid attention to the temperatures. I don't know, mid-October?
Yeah. Is it thick or is the whole area
it's
still
not
pretty thin?
And that's what I'm concerned about.
Yeah, I mean, you will that the blades of grass that are there are still pretty immature,
uh-huh.
so they will mature a little bit more, and that'll cause them to thicken and fill in the area.
Uh-huh.
If it's really thin, I wouldn't hesitate. You know, getting out early this mid March and putting a little bit more seed down, aerating or seeding,
uh-huh.
Just to help fill in some of those bare spots, so
uh-huh.
that you have a nice thick stand of grass
uh-huh.
That's going to tolerate the summers a little bit better.
So you think a little additional seeding might help, huh?
Yeah, that would definitely help to thicken things up a little bit and everything.
Uh-huh.
The other thing that if the grass continues to just kind of sit there and not really mature a whole lot,
uh-huh.
the other thing that you can do is top dress with a little bit of bumper crop. Just rake a thin layer, about a quarter of an inch
uh-huh.
of bumper crop into the area around the seed, and that will help to stimulate it along a little bit. The other
uh-huh.
thing that really helps a lot in scenarios where the grass just doesn't seem like it wants to mature is to add a little bit of a product called Magi-Cal. And it's a refined, basically the easiest way to describe it is a refined
lime on steroids.
Yeah, refined lime. And it helps to adjust the pH and make sure that your pH is right and provide the calcium and whatnot that your lawn really needs
all
to
right,
be good and healthy
cow,
also.
Is that in what form? Is that granular?
It's a granular.
What?
Mm-hmm.
And that's really one of the most key components in establishing your lawn is making sure your pH is correct.
Right.
Otherwise, the grass, like what you're seeing, it'll just kind of sit there and it won't really take off. And, all the fertilizer and nutrients, they're there. But if the pH is off, they're just not made available
uh-huh.
to the root system of the turf.
All right. So the Magi-Cal will help the pH.
Correct.
Exactly.
Uh-huh. Now, I want to know whether, when I'm doing the broadleaf weed killer, do I stay away from that area?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And then how about when I lime my lawn, do I stay away from that area?
No,
you can put lime down
uh-huh,
and
okay.
over all the lawn areas.
Yeah, in fact, use the Magi-Cal over the whole area. And one of the great things about Magi-Cal, and we probably don't talk about it as much as we could, but... it really, takes the place of those lime applications. It has everything that that you need to,
uh-huh.
All the benefits that you get out of the lime. But because it's so refined, you don't need anywhere near as much. So where you're typically thinking about to raise the pH one unit with lime, you're adding a bag per 1,000 square feet. The MagiCal, you know, a bag will do 5,000 to 10,000 square feet.
Uh-huh. Yeah, the ratio, the breakdown is like one bag of MagiCal to 10 bags of the traditional lime.
Uh-huh. Right, so you need a lot less product. It's more expensive, right. But, you know, it goes a lot further. So, yeah. You know, if you do a direct cost comparison, the MagiCal actually is cheaper. And
yeah.
The other great thing about it is it works right now.
Right.
Well, yeah, that's what I wanted to ask you. Should I put the MagiCal down right now?
Yeah, that'd be fine to do that right now. Lime, it actually, even the pelleted lime, it takes 3 months before right. You really start to see results from it.
Uh-huh. And the MagiCal's instant.
Okay.
Right.
Okay. All right, I appreciate it.
All right.
One more quick question?
Yeah.
Sure.
All right, I have so many green weeds. Just spreading all over the place. Is that the ones that flower?
Right, a lot of the cool season broadleaf weeds.
Is it too soon for Roundup?
Yeah, it's still too cold. You need temperatures really that are, you know, daytime temperatures consistently in the 70s and nighttime temperatures around 50.
Well, so they're just, broadleaf weed killer will kill those.
Right.
Right.
And you could use that this time of year. You could go ahead and make your broadleaf weed application. That'll take care of a lot of the cool season broadleaf weeds.
Uh-huh. Even those that are not in my lawn, you know, there are other areas where those
are
thriving.
Yeah, if they're up in shrub beds and things like that.
No, not in shrub, you know, along my fence where there's nothing.
Oh, okay, yeah, that'd certainly be fine there. You just don't want to, be very, very, very careful using any kind of a broadleaf weed killer, you know, too close to any desirable shrubs or perennials, things like that, because the product can actually, you know, work up into the root system if you're using it up into shrub beds and things like that. So you want to be very, very careful about doing that.
Okay.
But areas like a fence line or areas that you don't have desirable stuff planted, it's perfectly fine. That'll work great.
Okay, really helpful. Thank you very much.
Great. Thank you so much for calling.
Uh-huh.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Have a great day. Let's go to line number one real fast. I believe it's Scott Price on line number one.
Hey, guys. It's Scott.
Hey, wake up, man. Sorry to keep you holding.
Hey, no problem at all. How much time do I have?
I think we have to take a break in about 3 minutes.
Okay, I will go really, really fast. Imagine me talking quickly. Hey, I'm down at the Virginia Beach Flower and Garden Show. Absolutely incredible show. Corbin, I just texted you.
I'm looking
pictures.
At the pictures as you speak.
Pretty cool, huh?
Yeah, very nice.
Wow. If you want a shot of spring, this is the place to get it. Remember, the Virginia Beach Flower and Garden Show used to be one of the first ones of the year, and it would happen in January. And all the plants weren't awake yet. Nothing was green enough. Well, now they've moved it to March, and the show is absolutely incredible. The minute you walk through the door, you get that fragrance of spring. You see green grass growing. You see flowers in bloom, bulbs, annuals, perennials, even tropicals. So if you want to get a little taste of spring, this is the place to come. Today the show is from 10 o'clock until 9 o'clock, and then tomorrow from 10 o'clock to 6. Now, this isn't only a flower and garden show. This is a home show, and it is really well laid out this year, incredibly well laid out. They've mixed garden vendors in with the garden landscape folks, so if you want some accessories for your garden or if you want some ideas or some interesting containers or that type of thing, you can get wonderful ideas down here and then come visit us at the Garden Center, and we can help you get it done. The other thing is there's some wonderful seminars going on today. It's not only garden-oriented, it's whole home-oriented. There's one of the world-class premiers experts on antiques here today to talk about antiques to look at and ones to keep you away from. We've got the international mole hunter. This is a guy who's nationally known for having a solution to mole problems. I'll be sitting in on that class at 3 o'clock today. And then probably the most interesting thing about the show this year is that it really is focusing on sustainable landscapes. As my travel season is winding down now, a few weeks ago I was in Louisville, and I was actually able to co-lecture with one of the world premier landscape architects on sustainable landscapes, and that was Jeff Bruce with the Jeff Bruce Firm out of Kansas City, Missouri. Well, we've brought this down to a homeowner level, so I'm going to be talking about making your gardens work for you. The garden industry is completely changing. Our side of gardening, landscape and garden center, used to be called ornamental horticulture. Well, we're changing that word. No longer will we be ornamental horticulture. We're environmental horticulture. If you do your gardening correctly, you can save your electric bill, you can save on your heating, you can save on your water consumption, you can save on your cooling costs, you can save on your food expenses, you can save even on your gas costs. You know, if you have a great yard, you won't even be driving around trying to find something fun to do. You'll have a wonderful environment in your backyard. So the talk that I'm giving down here focuses on putting your garden to work. Next week, I'll be coming to you from the Philadelphia Flower and Garden Show, which also starts today. And then April the 8th, I'll be in Charlottesville at 1 o'clock on that Saturday during the Blue Ridge Home Builders Home Show. I'll be giving this talk in Charlottesville at 1 o'clock on the 8th of April.
You mean we get to have you back in Charlottesville, Scott?
Travel season is almost over. But there was nothing better than being in Phoenix, Arizona about a week and a half ago, and my favorite thing about that trip was smelling the freshly mowed grass. So we're only a few weeks away from that in Charlottesville.
Can't wait.
Okay, well, guys.
Thank you so much
day.
For calling,
Come
Scott.
Come down and see us at the Virginia Beach Flower and Garden Show today. If you want additional information, it is The Flower and Garden Show is the one for Philadelphia, and that's information for the Philadelphia Flower and Garden Show, and for the Virginia Beach Show, it's MidAtlanticHomeAndFlowerShow.com.
Great. Thank you, Scott. Have a great day down there, man.
Okay, guys.
Bye. Bye-bye. And you can – Scott travels on the weekends, but he is here during the week working.
Yes.
So you – I mean, what a wonderful talent he is, and you can book him just by calling out to the Garden Center – and have a free consultation with any of our landscape designers, whether it be Scott Price, Dwayne Snow, or Cindy Connor. They're all three available. Free landscape consultations. You can book them online at snownose.com or call out to the Garden Center today, any day. They'll put you in their voicemail. They'll set up an appointment. They'll come out and see you next week at 295-2159. We've got to take a quick break. You're listening to the Snow Nose Garden Show. We'll be right back. Good morning and welcome back to the Snow Nose Garden Show. I'm Corbin Snow.
I'm Norm Carlson.
And you've got to hurry up and call us if you want to get on the show this week. We only have about 10 minutes left. Our number here live in the WINA studios is 977-1070. Call early and often because we only have a few minutes left. And Glenn hates it when I wait to the last minute and I go to the phone lines and I'm answering phone calls and trying to squeeze in all my last minute specials and deals. So call early if you want to get on the show. Only 10 minutes left. 977-1070. And the listeners have responded, Norman. We've got two callers on the line. Let's go to line number one. Good morning. You are on the Snow Nose Garden Show.
Yes. I wonder, is it wise? I mean, should we go ahead and put down the broadleaf killer and the pre-emergence product at the same time? Can we do all that today?
You can go ahead and put them both down at the same time. I would kind of keep an eye on the weather radar and whatnot for the broadleaf weed killer because that's something that typically is done as the best way to do it is as a liquid application. But even the granular products have to be around for a while without rain.
It's kind of the opposite of the crabgrass. The crabgrass, right. You want it to get washed into the soil so it goes down and gets those little seeds. But the broadleaf, you actually want some stick where it's sticking to the foliage of the weeds for a couple of days for it really to be the most impactful.
Okay, so we should hold off on that and go ahead and put down the pre-emergence today.
Yeah, just the way the weather's been going, I mean, they're listening to the forecast last night and everything, they were talking about, maybe a 30% chance of showers today, but the real rain coming in tomorrow and everything.
Right.
And then wake up this morning and I was running the windshield wipers on the way into work. So, it's kind of hard to say what the rest of the day is going to bring, but it's best to put the broadleaf products down when they've got a chance to be dry and be absorbed into the foliage for a day or so.
All right, very good. And also, can we put down the Miracal today?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it doesn't matter if it rains on that.
No, that can go down. Yeah, that doesn't matter.
All right, very good. Thanks so much.
Great.
Well, thank you.
Thanks for listening. Have a good day.
Bye.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Now, some of your pre-emergent granular products that you use in your bed, something like a weed screen or similar, that wants to be watered in also. But those foliar applications, the post-emergent products really do need to be on the foliage for a while and get absorbed in. And that, you know, that's true of the liquid applications as well as if you choose to do the granular for your broadleaf weeds, it still needs those granules have to be on the foliage for a while so that the product gets absorbed into the leaves that way. You know, even for those. So either way, you want to allow those to be on there before they get rained on for a while.
If you'd like to join the show, our number is 977-1070. Let's go back to line number 2. Good morning. You're on the Snow Nose Garden Show.
Good morning, guys. Can we go back to the beginning of the show?
Yeah, hold
on. Thank you.
Hey, and we're back to the beginning of the show.
Rewind. I like it. I'm putting in a plug for something I know you sell, and that would be gloves.
Yes.
People have forepaws, and they need to protect them. That means the right glove for the right job.
That's right.
You can't have one glove for everything. So I would suggest you talk about making sure that people wear their gloves when they do pulling weeds or they're using their tools or whatever else.
Absolutely, because some of the things you don't necessarily think about all the time with wearing gloves, you know, you talk about pulling weeds and things like that. It's amazing how many times you reach down and you think, you know, it's just an innocuous little weed, and you grab a hold of it, and it's like, ow,
yeah,
that thing's got spines. Or,
well, you know what happens out in the garden? You get outside, and you always end up doing more work than you set out to do. So you'll get out there, hey, I'm just going to do this one little project, or I'm just going to move this or move that or plant this one little shrub. And before you know it, your hands are raw, especially mine. I've got no calluses on them. I've got, like, little soft, girly hands is what most people say when they shake my hands. They're like, ooh, you have soft hands. It's because I wear gloves in the garden, people. So get a good pair of gloves. We can't stress how important it is to have a good pair of gloves. And then wear them. You know, whether you're just going out to pull a few weeds. Like Norman said, you reach down, all of a sudden you pull that weed that just has those thorns in it, and it launches right into your skin, and, you know, you're cussing and swearing, and that could have been prevented by having a good pair of garden gloves. I went out the other night to adjust some of my landscape lighting. Adjust the landscape lighting. That was it, folks. And I reached down. I couldn't see what I was doing. The light's shining in my eyes, blinding me. And I reached down, and this little thorn that was just sitting on top of the mulch goes, you know, digging into my index finger, and it was there for like 2 weeks. I couldn't get it out. And of course, you know, it maybe would have been overkill to have gloves to adjust the landscape lighting. But just little things like that, you can protect yourself just by throwing on your gloves.
That's right. And, you know, you don't think about the kinds of weeds that you can get into, or, you know, if you've got
and the insects that'll bite you.
Oh, yeah.
Start reaching around.
Yeah, it's amazing. And, you know, they're great gloves that are light in weight,
yeah,
but yet are incredibly tough and durable to, yeah, you know, prevent punctures from thorns and holly leaf spines,
yeah,
and things like that. And then, you know, if you're getting into heavier duty stuff, obviously you want to get into some leather gloves and things like that.
Bless you, Norman.
Ah, it's pollen.
You're allergic. You're
up.
Allergic to the studio, I believe.
I think so. But yeah, it is important. You know, wear the right glove for the right job. Make sure you've got something that's going to protect your hands. And then, you know, the other thing that we don't mention often enough is when you're out there using the these weed control products and things like that,
yeah,
wear chemical resistant gloves,
yeah,
so that you're not absorbing these products in through your
skin.
Some
of those blue nitrile gloves, or, you know, just something that's going to keep that chemical off your skin.
Right, right. That's very important. Even, you know, even using some of the things like Roundup, the label is going to tell you when you absolutely have to wear things like that, but it's,
yeah,
a good idea to wear them anyway.
Yeah.
Just to get into the habit of anytime you're going to be using those kinds of products, put the gloves on. It'll keep you healthier.
See if we can squeeze in a few more phone calls. Good morning. You're on the Snow Nose Garden Show.
Good morning. I have a problem. I have amaryllis bulbs that I've had for several years. I put them out in the summer. I brought them in the fall and forgot about them. Then when I remembered them, I didn't feel like getting to it. I was sick. So I haven't had the heart to even open the box that I put them in the coolness in the garage. Is there hope?
Oh, sure. Yeah, they should be fine.
So just get them out now, just like I would have in the early winter months?
Right. And, you know, there may be some of them that started to sprout, mm-hmm. in the box and started to grow, and then without moisture and without light, didn't do very well. But generally speaking, if they're in a real cool environment like that, as long as they haven't frozen, they'll be, you know, continued in that dormant state, and you can pull them out now and start the pot them up, start the watering and feeding process like you normally would, and they'll come through and be just fine.
And I hope you feel better, Donna.
Thank you. And I'm sorry you got it.
Yeah, well, I hope you didn't get it from me.
Take care.
All right, I hope you feel better, Donna. Thanks for calling. And we're just about out of time. Just wanted to remind everyone once again, mark your calendars, your schedules for May 14th. It's the Seville Go Green Fest. Visit us online at SevilleGoGreenFest.com. Brought to you by Snow's Garden Center and Dixon Disposal. Have a great and informative website and a blog that you can follow us at SevilleGoGreenFest.com. Also, don't forget to stop by our own website at SnowNose.com. You can order mulch online, which is, I love to see those emails coming in. I mean, we're getting dozens of emails a week now, people ordering their mulch online, and it's that easy. Go to snownose.com, click on materials, and we've got a little calculator where you can calculate how much material you need. You can see a picture and a description of all the different materials we have to offer, from mulches, topsoils, gravel, compost. It's all available online. You can see it. Mm-hmm. You can pick your quantity out, submit your order form, and we will call and schedule it within minutes, within hours. It's that easy. Snownose.com. Follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/Snow's Garden Center. We're out of time. We'll see you next week on the Snow Nose Garden Show.